Thank you for joining us for Juno Afternoon. Tomorrow, the Audubon Society of Juno will host its monthly presentation. Rob Cadmus, John Hudson, and Brenda Wright are here to give us a preview of tomorrow night's program, Restoration of Lower Jordan Creek. Rob is director of the Southeast Alaska Watershed Coalition. John is the coalition's restoration biologist, and Brenda is with the Audubon Society here in Juneau. Well, Rob, let's start off by giving people a locator. For those who may not be familiar with this creek, which happens to be in the Mendenhall Valley, tell us about us. You know, I imagine a lot of us have driven by it and not even known.
Yeah, great, Rhonda. Thanks for that. So the creek that we're going to be talking about is Jordan Creek. It's located in the Mendenhall Valley. And if you drive right past, say, the Breeze Inn or McDonald's, it's the creek that flows right there. It goes underneath Glacier Highway and then back underneath the Juneau Airport. And we at the Southeast Alaska Watershed Coalition has kind of prioritized an effort to help restore Jordan Creek. And the reason for that is it is impaired by the listed as impaired by the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation, and because we think we can make a difference there.
Brenda, maybe you could tell us a little bit about why the Audubon Society wants to talk about the creek and bring it to the attention of birders.
Yes, thanks, Rhonda. Anything that helps wildlife or protects birds and all wildlife is something that's really important to Juneau Audubon. Our main goal is to improve and increase understanding of all the animals and plants that are all around us all the time.
Well, when you look at all the mountains and the water surrounding Juneau, you know, you do get the feeling like it's a beautifully wild place and relatively new is urbanization, especially, you know, when you look at the history of the land. But are looks deceiving? Maybe, John, you want to answer this question for us, being the restoration biologist.
Yeah, in my presentation, I'll be providing the 70,000-foot level of the Juneau area. Juneau, as I could determine on the internet, is the second largest city in the United States by land area, so it's a very large area. Not many of us venture out into the ice field that much, but we can leave the urban and suburban environment and go out to some very natural places. But within the human footprint of Juneau, there are a lot of streams that are really being adversely impacted by development. And those are roads and houses and offices and buildings and parking lots and such that we need as a community, but they're definitely having some impacts on the stream. And that's why SOC is working with various partners to try to minimize those impacts. And then as development proceeds in the future, try to avoid those impacts from happening.
Well, you mentioned satellite images and aerial views of this area. Is there a stark difference between the upper end of the creek and the lower end, which moves through the city?
Yeah, one of the reasons that we chose Jordan Creek to work on as kind of a goal of ours in Juneau is because most of the watershed, and the watershed is the land that contributes rain and melted snow to the stream, most of the watershed's nearly intact. It's very green. Up in the Mendenhall Valley, neighborhoods approach to the edge of the stream, but most of the watershed is on the flanks of Thunder Mountain, so very steep and forested. However, as you move downstream below Egan Drive, it changes so dramatically. The old meadows and forests and wetlands and such that were once there have been changed and converted to the various things that we need for our urban lifestyle here in Juneau. Businesses, doctor's offices, roads, streets, and bridges, and parking lots, and those have impacted Jordan Creek adversely, but we're trying to figure out how bad it's been impacted and coming up with actions to get it back to health.
Well, Rob, can you tell us a little bit about the status of this creek? I mean, how clean is the water in Jordan Creek?
Yeah, that's a good question. So Jordan Creek, it's a salmon stream, so the salmon live in it. There's fish all the way through it. Coho spawn in the upper reaches near Jennifer Drive. And it's polluted in a number of different ways. So the biggest kind of contributor to the pollutants is from the urban runoff that occurs from Egan downstream. So the Mendenhall Mall area, Nugget Mall area. And those pollutants are things like the residues from your tires, the exhaust from your car that attaches to sediment, the dirt and just grime from urban areas itself can actually damage the habitat. It's also polluted with garbage. There's a bunch of litter in there, so it's listed by the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation as impaired for residues, it's called. So
that's impaired.
Impaired. As well as it is impaired for bacterial levels. So we found high levels of fecal coliform. So that's essentially the sign of either sewage leakage or potentially just high levels of pet waste or even possibly some contributors are natural wildlife waste as well.
So when you read articles that have come out recently that say that little tiny pieces of tire, microscopic shavings that go over the road have gotten into streams and potentially affect spawning of salmon. I mean, is this kind of a similar issue with Jordan Creek?
Absolutely. Don has a lot to say about that concept right there.
We haven't measured that new compound that scientists have discovered, 6 ppd quinone, but yeah, apparently there's this antioxidant added to car tires that leaches out from tires as they wear. And in the Seattle area, for example, it's been determined that it can result in acute mortality, sudden mortality of coho salmon spawners as they enter those urban streams down there to spawn. We haven't measured that here in Juneau Creek, in Juneau's Jordan Creek, but we suspect it's there. There's lots of traffic in that area. So the good news is you can intercept stormwater before it goes into a storm drain and flows to the stream in a pipe. You can intercept that stormwater, put it into something cool like a low impact development rain garden that contains compost that will remove that chemical and other harmful chemicals and completely rid the stream of those harmful things that are impacting fish. So that's the good news. And that's what we hope to do in the future, working with various partners.
So is that expensive to do, Rob?
Yeah, great. And just reiterate what John said there is that our plan and our monitoring has led us to the point where we've been able to essentially calculate how much sediment and how many pollutants are entering that stream and what we have to do to reduce those levels so that it's good for fish and it's good for people. And we're developing simple measures throughout the watershed that will help prevent that pollution from occurring. So like John said, a little basin where the water might gather and allow those sediments to settle out before it enters the stream. So it can cost money, but at times it can be things that are pretty cost effective as well. And if done right and done when development is occurring, we can probably do a lot of these things with our developments. And so it's not about stopping development, it's about about growing in a way that's sustainable and that our fish can exist and we can exist at the same time.
And does it help with flooding too? Because I know that that's been a problem at that particular creek in the past.
Hey, Rob, you like to talk about flooding.
Yeah, so it can help with flooding because what we're doing is slowing down the water, right? So the water hits the pavement, and right now it goes right into a storm drain and then it shoots right into the stream, and so it's really flashy. So if we can develop some of these stormwater BMPs, we call it, that help slow that water down and let the sediment settle out, let the pollutants settle out, it will help with flooding. That said, Jordan Creek has a big mountain in its watershed. The Thunder Mountain is in its watershed. And so when you have a big storm with snow on top of that mountain and a bunch of rain on that mountain, a lot of water is going to come down, and there's not much we can do to change that with the kind of projects we're looking at.
But every little bit helps. Brenda, in wrapping things up, why is it that you want to see Jordan Creek restored?
Oh, you know, it's a wonderful little green belt in the middle of our housing in the valley. It's an excellent place to see spring warblers. And if I could just mention real quick, we had a Christmas bird count in December, and Bob Armstrong was kind enough to make a video of his photos of all the species that we saw, 50 on count day and 70 during the week. And you can go to our Facebook page and see that video.
So real quick about how we can watch this Zoom meeting tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, right? And how do we access that?
just go to our webpage, JunoAudubonSociety.org, or our Facebook page, and the Zoom meeting information will be right there.
And I guess you can watch it later, too, if you can't catch it then,
yes,
right?
We'll have it up hopefully in a week or so. Our technology is getting there.
Oh, technology. It's a wonderful thing. It's a terrible thing. Well, thank you, Ron Cadmus and John Hudson with the Southeast Watershed Coalition and Brenda Wright with the Juneau Audubon Society.